It's 1 o'clock. Okay. It's 1 o'clock. We will begin the Education Committee meeting. Public comment upon items not appearing on the agenda. And we have three people who wish to speak. Chris Cannon.
Good afternoon. Chris Cannon. I'm with Catholic College as a paramedic program director. I'm also with KMSA as the chair of the Educator Society. First of all, thanks for the opportunity to speak today. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to the chair and the committee members here today and online too. Hi, John, over there, wherever you're at. I did note, and we're preparing for this meeting for a while now, it seems. But one of the things that we noticed last evening was that there was some more data released under the board packet area with some numbers and some items on there. I think it was titled agenda item comments. And I think our request for that would be if those items are there, if those could be posted earlier so we could have those. And, you know, we'd be more than glad to provide supporting comments or whatever to those. But it's hard when that's released the day before to have that in a timely manner for written testimony on those things. Let's see here. We'd also encourage new agenda items to come to the sponsoring org calls. I think that's probably an important point of communication there. And the one today with the scoop stretchers and the ice packs, I think we would have had a great conversation at that meeting, and we maybe could have done something besides send a letter of opposition. I don't enjoy writing letters of opposition. We want to support each other. We want to come to hopefully the same conclusion on things. And it's hard to do without having that communication beforehand. So that's the only two things that I had on there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
And Joe will take care of getting that stuff out.
So, Madam Chair, the comments were the compilation of comments received upon the agenda items.
Okay.
The summary of that information was the results of the public hearing. And so all of that was done Tuesday. Not a whole lot of time between Tuesday and yesterday to post that.
Okay.
Agree. There was also some data shared that looked like it was probably two-year-old data that was on there. That would have been what we were referencing there.
Okay. Thank you. Charles Foat. Okay, you bet. Kent Vosburgh. Okay, everybody's good. All right. Thank you. Old business. KR 10911-8. Review comments received during public comment period and developing a recommendation for the board related to the consideration of adoption appearing on their February agenda. What you got?
So those were the comments that were just referenced. Packet that went out, got published. That's the 12 comments received for 11-8. That's the information we received during the public comment period, which closed upon the ending of the hearing Tuesday at 10:05. So that's the information. There's 12 in support, one that provided verbal only, one that provided no comment. That was the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules and Regulations. There's no opposition noted to it. And so the only other thing I bring out is I know that some of the comments, I think that was in the summary, mentioned improving outcomes and reducing workforce development. That's great if that's what this will do. The reason for the change was because of it's really an evolution of things. I used the term earlier in planning operations. Before, board staff was required to approve folks to take the cognitive exam a long time ago. That got shifted to the program managers and the sponsoring organizations doing that instead, and this was a regulation that never necessarily went down that same path to allow it. When it was brought up during the revamp of the sponsoring organizations, it was asked by the sponsoring organizations to maintain a singular time frame so that there weren't two different time frames thrown out there. So because the BLS skills exam side of things required a 7-day heads up for our staff logistically, that was why it stayed that way. I think we've got that address now. So there's no reason to not move forward with eliminating that time requirement. There will be two different ones in there, but we'll deal with it as we go through.
Was any data provided to that shows the improved outcomes?
So the only data provided during the public comment period was what was in the summary.
Okay.
And that was the pass rate. So that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only data that was provided during that.
Okay. So do we? What are we
gonna
do with that, David?
Do we? Time to look back on it. So one on 11/8 was the 7-day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. So the board is slated to consider adoption of this. It's really up to the EETC whether you want to make a recommendation to the board mm-hmm. on this, or if you just want it to, the comments to go through as such.
Do we have to have a vote for that since we don't have a?
You do have a quorum.
We do have a quorum.
Okay.
Yeah, John's
okay.
online. That's
okay.
Three of your five.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. Does John have comment?
John, you got any comments? See your lips moving, but I don't hear any words.
I think you're still muted, John.
Did that unmute me?
There you go. We can hear you now.
No, I think we're going to just go ahead. I'd make a motion that we just go ahead and move this forward to full board to just complete this. Let's just move it forward.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a motion by Director Ralston and a second by Dr. Selberg. Is there any more discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Okay. New business, 2025 year in review.
Thank you. So in your packet was provided just a two-page quick overview. Again, for those that were here during the plan and ops, you heard just a little bit about that. Not a huge presentation upon it. It's just information for you to look to see what happened kind of in 2025. And so I'm sure you guys have look through it, reviewed it, take a look. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. Or if there's other things that you would rather, or maybe not rather see, but also see in addition to what's there, just let me know and we'll do the best we can to pull it out.
I think it's great information. It looks mm-hmm. pretty good. I mm-hmm. looked at it.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything to add.
I don't. Thanks for that. I can tell there a lot of work went into that. Very informative. Okay. BLS skills exam mandatory equipment. Request received to add as required equipment a scoop, stretcher, and cold packs.
All right, so I'm bringing this one to you. I want to very much impress upon the fact that, number one, this is not a board staff recommendation to bring forth these things or to make these changes. We do have a process within our BLS examination sites where we ask for input from those that are involved with the examination. So that's exam staff, exam facilitators, and both of these requests were from those individuals stating that they feel as though the process could be done better with the addition of this equipment. So over time, we've compiled the requests as they come through. And the two that just rose to the top after the December site were very much an increase in folks requesting the presence of a scoop stretcher as equipment and the presence of an ice pack. And there are scenarios that we have in the BLS exam that would ultimately end up utilizing both items. And what we had heard, at least when the folks had made those requests, had said on the scoop stretcher specifically side of it, is folks have gone away from being taught how to place someone on a spine board, even though the spine board is only designed for an extrication use or for the lifting of a patient that's supine on the ground, laying on the ground, to get them up high enough to put them on a cot, and then you take them right back off the board. So it's a lifting and moving device, not a true immobilization device. The same goes true with the scoop stretcher. It is currently the only device that's designed to close around the patient that's on the ground. So it is also the only device that's actually really approved for spinal motion restriction, where you have to maintain them in a neutral manner while lifting and such. And so it eliminates log rolling with the proper use of a scoop stretcher, which is also frowned upon on the spinal motion restriction side of things. So that was their justification for using it as it goes through. On the ice pack side of there, again, we have a scenario where it is, we actually have a couple scenarios where it's applicable to utilize an ice pack, and we've had candidates looking for one. So that's where the results on that one came back as well, and said they would just like to see the addition of both of those devices. So where you do get to our recommendation was in looking at those items. We said that there shouldn't be an issue in putting either one out there. And I know that there was some comment, some of the public comment that was received did state an increased cost. And yes, I mean, if they didn't have enough scoop stretchers for a site, yes, they would. Our research shows that they can be bought, purchased for between about $100 and $300 a piece. But that I'm not sure that that was the same numbers that one of that were being found by others. And they may have contractual agreements to purchase all of their equipment through something where that they might not be able to get that same pricing. But along those lines, there was an ask for if there were a change to have a set implementation date as well. And I think we threw out May of something just so that we didn't have sites that were happening Saturday that would have to ultimately do this. So.
So my question is, so there is a cost, because this thing says there's no financial impact, but now it's $100 to $300. How many scoop stretchers per site would be needed?
Two per station that they ultimately, well, it's one per station that they run. We require that to be in even numbers. So the reason that it says on the financial impact that there is no cost is because we anticipate this is equipment that's already present at the educational site. And again, once we put that out, one of the comments we received back was that is not the case. So there would be a cost associated with that. It's just the information available at the time in which we print things. So
sure. Well, I'd like to...
Just a side note, that would probably improve pass rates. I mean, if they're expecting it, it's not there.
Well, I mean, do we know if they're expecting it and it's not there? Is that affecting them as a student?
So they're looking for a device to move the patient, at which point when they see a spine board, and that's the only other thing that they think that they could use to move, they're going to attempt to use it. It's the same situation that we encountered with the Kansas short board
many years ago.
Yeah, where it was present there, and folks decided today was going to be the day they try to use it.
I guess I'm just curious what that, I mean, I think we should ask whether it's the instructors or so who has to provide. So I'm going to pick on Chrissy, who's sitting there. So if Chrissy's going to have students testing, so does she have to provide those scoop stretchers?
Yes. Whoever's hosting the BLS exam site is required to provide all of the equipment that's present and necessary for the exam site.
I'll put you on the spot. Do you have those? You don't have those? Chris, you have one?
Yep.
To me, that's kind of problematic. I don't. So then Chrissy would have to buy them? Is that what we're saying?
To host a site,
them, yeah.
They would have to be able to, they wouldn't, or partner with an area service that has them and can utilize them. I mean, that's, It's the same for any other of the equipment items they might not carry.
Sure. So, Chrissy, what else do you have to borrow equipment? What else do you have to borrow, or anybody? What else do you have to borrow?
I don't borrow anything. I follow the required board examination list that's published in the board exam guide, and I provide that to every test site that I host. I own all of that and make sure I have all of that equipment. This is also required to provide that to my students to prepare them for boards. So,
whatever's on the list, I ensure
that I have as well as equipment that they're trained on. We
just
don't utilize the Palm Beach board and training.
Okay.
John, do you have any comments? Is he muted again? Unmute.
The only thing I don't want to get into is back to what we had before. Like Joe had mentioned, with the KEDs and the sites, and then everybody's looking for CAN scores for a while. We had to have both. I don't know I know that some people are louder than others when they request stuff, and I don't know if this is something that everybody's looking for. That's a specific item that some services carry and others don't. The ability of being able to adapt to different situations, I think, is important too. If that's not there, you have to find another way of doing it. So, I think we need to think about this for a little bit. You know, I don't have any problem with being there, but how big does that list need to get? It could add on to where I want rigid splints, I want air splints, and I want vacuum splints all there. It says some type of a splint in that equipment. It can get kind of chaotic then. So students are just going to have to learn to adapt to whatever's available, I think. But it is a good conversation that we need to look at.
Well, we're having it now.
That list can get pretty fast.
I'm looking at that now again. I understand where services like Chrissy are coming from. It's an added expense to them. I don't even know what a scoop stretcher costs, so I could Google it, I guess, but I know there's places out there that sell them for $100, and then there's other places that charge 3-4 times that. So,
on the high end, we found $1,800.
Dang. Yep.
That's a little pricey for something that pinches your butt. Just saying.
Catches your hair if you're not careful.
I don't know.
I kind of go with what John is. I'm looking here, the sea collars. I mean, how many different types of sea collars are there, that people can use and such? So I'm kind of with John, and we should table this and have more discussion.
Okay. Is that a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Okay. I have a motion from David. Do I have a second to table the discussion?
Well, that would be awkward.
That's okay. No, it's okay.
I'll second it just because there's Dr. Yeah, still people are here, and I'll second the motion that David just made.
So if I can enter in on the discussion here, and maybe this actually helps with the second side of things, it is okay to say no.
Well,
it's not available at this time, and it's not a good idea at this time. That's a great answer to say it, as opposed to leave
like
it living on the agenda.
I get that.
So,
right. Is that something that these services could, this year when it opens, maybe apply for craft grant funding for that piece of equipment? Is it
yes.
Something on the list? I don't get craft grants, so.
I don't either.
Yes.
I mean,
it'd be eligible.
Okay.
Is there a way we can make that like more of a priority? Chris has that question. I know what Chris's question is going to be.
Yeah, our educational institutions
are exempt. Yep.
No.
That's part of it.
However, they could petition the regions because the regions also do receive EIG funding or funding out of that same side of things, or for CRAF, sorry, and it be considered a regional project, which this would be phenomenal for that. That would end up getting pitched into the CRAF committee to see whether that gets approved or not. So that would be the way, although the educational institution not directly able to receive a direct reimbursement, they could receive it through the regional aspect.
I'm going to keep my motion, so we table this for more discussion. Let's figure out if we can do something like that and how it would work for the educational institutions and see if that's something that's viable. If not, it's not.
Thoughts, John?
He gave a thumbs up.
Yeah.
I think Chris, did you have something, Chris?
Yeah.
I think our recommendation remains unchanged. We oppose that. We also encourage the move away from long spine boards in the station. We also encourage exploration of a portfolio to replace the BLS exam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As far as the scoop stretcher and ice packs go,
you can separate this stuff.
Yep.
Public comment.
Okay. All right, Angela. I'll put you on my list.
So is there, Angela Fuller, Sedgwick County EMS, I am not an educator, but is there a way to make that just a generic patient movement device so that it can be specific to whatever the test site is as the students are trained in multiple ways to move patients, and that leaves it open.
Can we do that there, Bob?
So
we'd have to write the whole thing again.
Mm-hmm. So the question posed was, can it be done? Because this is your exam. You can do it as you like to do it. If that's what you want, that does run the potential of an exam site in, and I'll use folks that are in the room, Norwich having spine boards present, a test site in Cowley having scoop stretchers present.
Gotcha.
And I would hope that the students have been trained how to utilize both as a lifting device, but they might not be. So then they do run the risk of going into a site where they haven't been trained to use it. That's the only reason why we try to have a standardized equipment. Mm-hmm. But if it's known that it could be this, or this, because a soft cot would probably be a great addition in there as well, and another thing. It just has to be something to lift the patient on the ground up higher, because for whatever reason, our students want to move the patients. So they don't have to move the patient. They can take care of the patient laying there.
Say it louder.
You want me to say that louder?
Yeah.
They don't have to move the patient. They can treat the patient while they lay on the ground.
No one's failed for not moving the patient.
Right.
Okay.
Again, I'd say we table this. Let's have some more discussion, or we can just say no. I'm open to either. Either way, I'm always about having discussion and getting people included and involved.
Charles, you're already on the list. You're moving to the top.
The discussion seems pretty clear that it really resolves the problem by just saying no.
Okay.
As opposed to moving it
okay.
Forward.
That's fair enough.
Thank you.
Changing your motion?
I'll change my motion to no.
Okay.
I would second that motion.
There we go.
Great. Thank you, John. I have a motion by Director Adams and a second by Director Ralston. No on the scoop stretchers and ice packs. Any more discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Okay. Potential regulatory disconnect, instructors of clinical training statute is amended and in effect July 1st, 2025. Adjusted supervision of students in a clinical setting to include a physician's assistant, an APRN, a respiratory therapist, and an EMS provider at or above the level being taught. Regulation currently limits an instructor of clinical training conducted in a clinical healthcare facility to be a licensed physician or a licensed professional nurse. We need to fix that. So, can we need to change the regulation to fit the statute. Can we do that?
Of course, regulations are yours, so.
Okay. Anybody else got a comment about that?
No, I agree.
Did this get left off, or has it never been there?
No, the change, the statutory change that went into effect on July 1st actually eliminated a differentiation between who could participate in supervision of a student in a clinical environment versus a field internship environment, and just became unified across the board. Mm-hmm. And so this is just standard what happens when statutes change that you had regulations tied to. So
okay.
It still fits. Yeah. The regulation still fits within the statute, mm-hmm. without a problem, because you can always narrow it down. But the question really comes down to whether you want it narrowed down, and I don't believe you do.
No.
We were in support of the statute, so.
Mm-hmm. I'll make a motion that we go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, well, so moved.
I'll second.
Okay, I have a motion by Dr. Selberg and a second by Director Adams to align 109-17-1A7 and C with the current statute. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes.
And the second question there, Madam Chair, is whether you want that to align with field internship as well. So C dealt with the clinical healthcare setting. We do have field internship, and whether you want that same laundry list. On this one, we would say that you probably don't want the laundry list.
Correct.
That you would want it to be an EMS provider because it is field internship training, and
yeah.
You have this.
Leave it alone.
And the only exception there is you do have nurses that are in the field that may be functioning in an ALS role that you might want to provide supervision. And there's a good prevalence, but if you're fine with EMS providers, we're fine with that too. So
I'd prefer it be EMS providers.
I as well.
Okay.
John, comments?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm wondering about just licensed professional nurse. That would work because that would work with both nurse and nurse practitioner because of licensed ASPO. But if you want, just leave it just our designation. That's fine too with me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do we need to vote on that again? Okay.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else? Okay. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay.
They may not have heard you. You were very far away from the microphone.
Wow.
Dr. Selberg, John, anything else further before they adjourn?
No, I don't think so, guys.
Hey, I like your backdrop there, but we all know your office really doesn't look like that.
No, it doesn't. It's actually, I've got books out on my counter and everything.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Trying to keep things going with all my bosses quitting and then getting reappointed and budget cuts, so it is where it is.
Okay. All right, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right. We are adjourned.